Let's open up our Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 28. See where the Lord leads us tonight. We continue on through the book of Samuel, starting in verse 7, chapter 28, verse 7. Let's read some of this together, then we'll pray and go back and just get into the Word. Notice it says, "Then Saul said to his servants, 'Find me a woman who's a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her.' And his servants said to him, 'In fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor.' And so Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes and went in, and the two were with him. Two men were with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, 'Please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one that I shall name to you.' And then the woman said to him, 'Look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off all the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die?' And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, 'As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing.' And then the woman said, 'Whom shall I bring up for you?' And he said, 'Bring up Samuel for me.'" Probably we're going to do verses 7 through 25 over the next 2 weeks. We're going to start tonight and then probably finish it up next time. We're going to do part one, if you will, tonight of Trick or Treat. And I find this is not a Halloween message, don't worry, but I find it interesting, God's timing, because the very place we happen to be has a lot to do with similarities of the time of year we happen to be in. And God's timing never ceases to amaze me. Now, again, the title tonight's very appropriate, considering what we're going to see again happening this time of the year, because even as we have costumes and demonic activity and trick-or-treat every October, so too we see each of these elements in the story tonight with Saul. You see, tonight we see Saul put on a costume, seek out a medium or a witch, and attend a seance in an attempt to bring Samuel back from the dead. Sound familiar? Again, for this time of the year. And although Saul might think this is a treat as he's looking for answers from the grave, I believe it's nothing more than a trick from Satan. And you know what's interesting about this is many people today make the same mistake, especially around this time of the year. They believe it a real treat to have a seance and to get involved in activity that we know the scripture says is demonic. Again, in reality, it's nothing more than just a demonic deception that leads people's souls away from God into eternal hell. This is what we see God dealing with in Saul tonight, and looking especially as we get close to Halloween, what we deal with in our own society. Now, let me say this. Again, Halloween for many is nothing more than a harmless holiday where kids get dressed up and get candy. And I understand that. But for some, it's taken very seriously. And this time of the year, the demonic realm is sought after more than any other of the entire year. And I think one of the most shocking things to me when I became a believer in Christ was realizing this time of year and how much really there is going on. When as a kid, all I ever saw was just kind of the trick-or-treat, the costumes, the candy and all that. And again, I think that's probably what most people are involved in when it comes to that. But again, when I saw tonight's teaching and saw where we were, I just, you know, again, God's timing is interesting, is it not? And even the fact that it's going to take us a couple weeks to finish it up. You know, we start it tonight and finish it next week. And again, just a good reminder, I think we're going to see a lot of things. And that is just how real God is, but also how real the demonic realm is. And that we can be praying and be prepared. And it makes it even more exciting that we're doing our outreach this year on the harvest celebration. And again, I encourage you, invite everyone you know to come. We're going to be not only just giving them a bunch of goodies and having fun with them, we're going to be presenting the gospel with scriptures out there and just kind of really sharing. So it's going to be a neat time as well. But before we get into tonight's passage, it's important that you realize in this particular passage, there are a couple of different viewpoints. Now tonight we're going to see as we start into this, again, this whole episode where Samuel is now called up, or what appears to be Samuel called up in this seance by the witch in Endor. There's two different groups of belief on this particular encounter. Some say that this woman really did bring Samuel back from the dead. The other think it was simply a trick from the demonic realm. And although I've gone back and forth on this, as I study it, where I currently stand is the second category after really looking at this passage. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm right, only that this is where I currently stand. And we'll explain that as we go through the passage. But I believe this was nothing more than a demonic deception. And that's why I've called this trick or treat. You know, we get to this time of year and a lot of people think this is kind of a treat to get involved with, whether it's things that are just scary or even things sometimes that are spiritual, and maybe even getting involved in trying to, you know, call back the dead or get involved in things like that. But you know, there's only one that truly gives life. I mean, you know, to look back toward the dead is not really what God wants us doing anyway. You know, we have enough death around us. It's looking to life that God wants us to do. So no matter where your viewpoint is concerning this, it doesn't really change the meaning of the passage. What we see in Saul's life tonight, and really what's kind of sad, is you see a man that started out walking with the Lord and honoring the Lord and serving the Lord. And by the time he was done, he's actually seeking out things of the demonic realm. Now you think, how could that happen to a believer? And again, Saul was a believer. Saul, God's spirit came upon Saul. God called Saul. He anointed Saul. He put Saul in this position. But guys, the main warning of this entire passage, wherever our viewpoint is, as we begin to get into it and look at kind of the intricacies of the passage, And wherever you stand on that, the bottom line is that it's a real warning to us, and it serves as a warning that even if we're walking with God tonight, where are we going to be 10 years from now? Where are we going to be 5 years from now? Where are we going to be, 6 months from now if we don't stay faithful to the Lord? And so there's a lot of warnings. There's also a lot of encouragement in this passage as well. But again, if this is a demonic encounter, as I suspect, it's an extremely valuable lesson and insight into the demonic realm so that we might not only see how Satan often deceives, but how effectively he deceives. There's a real battle going on. As you guys know, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in heavenly places. And again, you think about this, after the advantage of thousands of years of practice and the use of spiritual tricks, it's easy for him to deceive the spiritually naive. I think about Dennis talking about going to these different places and sharing the gospel. If we were to go on a missions trip and go to the middle of some jungle somewhere, and they've never seen a flashlight, all you guys have to do is pull a flashlight out, and they're going to probably think you're a god. Because you have the ability to do something they don't understand, and they're shocked and they're amazed by it. Satan has the same abilities. He can do things that amaze people. And oftentimes, if they don't understand that it's the spiritual realm and it's the demonic realm working, they can get sucked into this stuff, and it can be really deceptive. But again, when you begin to understand how the demonic realm works, and you see how deceiving the demonic realm can be, then now you understand what you're dealing with. And I think this is interesting because you watch how Satan works. If someone doesn't understand the demonic realm is real and has real power, and that's how I was growing up. I didn't believe the demonic realm really was real or had real power. But if you don't believe that, whenever you see or experience anything that is supernatural, then obviously you begin to think that it's either of God or it's some other power that you might be interested in. And here's a warning, especially, it's kind of nice to have all the young people in here tonight, because the bottom line is this is the time of year when the enemy wants to draw people in. And he draws us in by different things, by making something look harmless. As again, we think about Halloween looking very harmless. And for a lot of us, I know that is. But the bottom line is that you're a sitting duck for deception, as Saul is tonight, if you don't understand what's really going on behind the scenes. And so we're going to pull the veil back a little bit as we look at this tonight. Now, again, we talk about the way that Satan works. A case in point would be horoscopes, palm readers, tarot cards, or psychics. They can often tell you things that no one knows except you. Sometimes there used to be a psychic radio show or something here in town. I don't think they do that anymore, but you would hear people call up, and I'd be flipping around and hear on the radio station, and people would call in and then ask this person, that was this psychic or whatever, tell me about this or that or whatever. And from time to time, not that often, but from time to time, this person would really nail what their situation was and begin to even tell them things. There's someone in your life that's doing this, and there's a certain color or whatever, and you could hear them on the other side, oh, how'd you know that? And just shocked. This is amazing. Something's going on here. Guys, it's simply the demonic realm. You forget, you think the only person that knows this is myself. How could that person have told me? But you have to remember there's others that know it as well. And it's the demonic realm that knows it. And again, so I think the enemy uses this type of deception to draw in and to deceive. And again, if you see these kind of things, you don't understand what's going on, then you can be deceived by the enemy. And then once you're drawn in, now you're hooked. I remember hearing a story about a girl that someone told her, you're going to this party, you're going to meet this certain guy, and you're going to marry him. So she goes to the party. She looks for a guy that fits the description of what this tarot card reader told her. She finds this guy and marries him. It ends up being a real disaster and a horrible thing, but she was led by a different spirit. And that's what we have to be warned about when it comes to the demonic realm. We know that as believers, it's very real. But the world doesn't always know that it's very real, and so we have to have answers for them when these kind of things happen, especially this time of year. And especially with some of you guys that are in high school and stuff, and you start hearing your kids messing with this kind of stuff. I just read today of a woman who entered a police station and confessed that she had shot and killed her son. And she did it, she said, because an astrologer had predicted her son, who was ill, would never regain his mental health. And so to save him from the horrible future, she took his life. Now, that's the influence the demonic realm can have. I know we don't see that often. But if we don't understand that the demonic realm is real and these powers are real, then we're not going to be ready for them when they come along. And so this is, again, a lot what's interesting about this particular passage. Now, we saw last week that God was no longer talking to Saul. What a sad place to be as a believer. When you come to the place that you've grieved God's spirit so much that he's no longer talking to you. And that's where Saul had come to. And in his desperation to hear from the spiritual realm, he chose to seek out anybody that could speak to him from the spiritual realm. And guys, listen, we have people like this around us today. They've not really found God in the church. They've not really found the Lord in certain places where they are for whatever the reasons, oftentimes a hardened heart, and maybe because they haven't heard the message in the way they should, but they begin to seek spiritual things in other areas. The enemy is more than willing to give you an experience. And here's the danger in the demonic realm. The experiences are real, but it's not always an experience from God. And so we have to be aware of this. We have to be warned of this. And we have to understand that this is how, again, the enemy works. And so he wasn't talking to Saul anymore. And in his desperation to hear in the spiritual realm, he chose to seek out anyone who he thought might do it for him. And again, many refuse to come to God and hear his word, which is amazing to me. They'll refuse God. They'll refuse to hear God's word. But they'll seek out some other spiritist to give them something they need in the spirit. And why do they do that? Well, again, Dennis was sharing tonight about that empty place in the heart. There's a place in our heart that only God can fill. But everyone who doesn't have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they know something's missing. They just sometimes don't know what it is. And since they don't know what it is, they try to fill it up. And if they reject God and God's word to fill it up, what do? They start looking somewhere else. They start looking in other religions or other spiritist things or things like that. And there may be some of you here tonight. There may be someone right now that says, I've got that empty place in my heart and I've been looking other places. You're not going to find it in those other places. You're only going to find it in Jesus Christ, in him. He's the only one that can fill it. And Saul's problem was, is he had the right answers, but he turned away from it. And now that Saul has rejected what God was trying to do in his life, rather than repenting, he now turns to this forbidden realm by the Lord. And what a warning this is for us. As we turn away from the truth of God, we find something else to fill that void. The only thing that's going to ever fill that void is the Lord. And again, some of you, your testimony is that very thing. How many of you looked for all the ways you could fill your heart and your life before you finally came to the Lord? And that's exactly, again, Saul kind of did it in reverse. He had the Lord. Now he's trying to fill it with other things. Pretty sad. But notice verse 7. Let's jump into it. It says, then Saul, again, remember, God has now quit speaking to Saul. Saul is desperate. He's about to go to battle against the Philistines. And he doesn't know what to do. In verse 7, Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. Now, it's interesting to me that Saul said, find me a woman who is a medium. Now, why not a man? I don't want to make more of this than is necessary, but I do believe that women in general can be more susceptible to this type of deception because Satan, note this, Satan works on feelings and emotions. It doesn't mean that men are more perceptive than women. It's just that men are not as emotional. And so that's why we oftentimes you find in the spiritual realm on these type of things. And I mean, how many towns have you gone to? You've seen a Madam Day, right? You never see a Sir Knight or something like that, you know, on a billboard. And there's a reason for that. Because again, he plays off of the emotions and the feelings. And again, remember Eve in the garden. Who did Satan go to when he was trying to deceive? Now, I want to be very careful on this because I don't want you rushing me saying, hey, what are you saying about the women now? What are you implying here? I'm not saying that somehow men are smarter. As a matter of fact, I think it's the opposite. What I'm saying is that because women are typically more emotional when it comes to these type of things that are away from the word of God, feelings and emotions can steer us astray. And we have to all be careful. We have to guard ourselves. Men are also lured into this stuff as well. But we have to guard ourselves from this because, again, there's an emotional side to it. And it can be something that can suck us in through the emotional side. And that's why it's so important that we stick to the word of God. God's word is our plumb line. Again, we've said this before, gang, but we can't make any decisions based on feelings or emotions. It's only the word of God. That's it. That is our spiritual plumb line. Now, what is a medium? Well, the word here really has multiple applications, but it refers generally to anyone who's involved in the occult. Involved in spiritism, seeking the dead, witchcraft, fortune telling, astrology, you get the point. And although some claim to be Christians that are involved in these activities, it's impossible to bring the two together. There is someone who's in this area that is apparently fairly well known. I heard about them recently. I don't know them personally, but they claim to be a Christian, and yet they lead people in all of these different spiritist type things, fortune telling, all these different things, palm reading, you name it, tarot cards, they're into it. But they say, we're doing this for Christ. It's a, you know, some type of connection they're trying to make in the Lord. Guys, you can't do that. The Bible says, what fellowship does light have with dark? There is no fellowship with light and dark. And so again, you can't be involved in these things. And typically those involved in such activities are miserable people as they're tormented by the demonic realm. And this is something that is why when it comes to this type of activity, you will never really find a happy medium. Sorry. I couldn't resist that one. But it's true. And so now we find this... Now we find this unhappy medium here in verse 7, and Saul runs to her. And notice verse 8, so Saul disguised himself, and he put on other clothes, and went, and two men went with him. He's going trick-or-treating. Notice, put a costume on, goes out to see a witch. And notice this, he went, and two men went with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me, and bring up the one that I shall name to you. Now again, notice Saul puts on the costume, the disguise, the whole thing, thinking he's going to get a treat, but I believe, again, he's going to be tricked. Saul, like all those seeking things in the darkness, again, moving at night. And that is why when you see the whole bar activity and the nightclub activity again, it's done in these kind of things at night. And notice there in verse 9, the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done. how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? Now notice she says it was Saul who had put all the mediums and spiritists out of the land and forbidden it. Now look what Saul is doing. Okay, so this is the contrast I want you to get tonight. Notice where Saul was and where Saul ended up. Saul was walking with the Lord. Saul was being used in great ways by the Lord. But Saul, because of his own selfishness and seeking his own desires and turning away from the word of God. See, this is sobering to me. What it means is that we can be walking with the Lord with all of our heart. And that if we decide to veer off and allow our heart to get hardened and turn away from the things of God, we can find ourselves way off base. This is where Saul is. Here's a guy that was running the spiritists and the mediums out of town. Now he's seeking one out in order to be able to find some answers in the spiritual realm that he didn't feel that he could get from the Lord. And of course, because of his disobedience, God had quit speaking to him. Guy filled with the Spirit, look at him now. And here's the warning. If we don't actively stay in tune with the Lord and cultivate our walk, the enemy is right there to slowly pull us away. And it's a gradual pulling away. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens on a gradual basis. Again, Saul now has been pulled away. And notice, and Saul swore to her by the Lord. Notice this. As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Look at this. Now we see Saul deceive the medium. Interesting. He tells her, as the Lord lives, no punishment will come upon her. But he has no authority to make such a claim. Scripture makes clear that those who do such things will not escape the judgment of God. Listen to what it says. You can jot this down and read it later. I want to read it to you out of Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. It says this, God speaking to the children of Israel. He said, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall be not found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or note this, or one who calls up the dead. This is what Saul was asking her to do. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. And so now here's this man serving the Lord, and now look how far he's gone. He's actually involved in something God would call an abomination. Listen, God doesn't give warnings just to give them. When I read these kind of passages, it puts a fear of God in my heart. And it should yours as well. I can't tell you, I've had other believers in my life that have said, I never believed I would be where I am right now. I was walking with God and I began to veer away from God. And I never believed I would be involved in things right now that God would consider an abomination. And it happens. And now it's happened to Saul. And so there's a warning in that for all of us to stay close to the Lord. And notice then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring Samuel up for me. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. Now, this is interesting. Notice when she saw Samuel. And although it says this, we see in a moment that all she really saw was the form of some man wearing this mantle. She didn't know at that time it was Samuel. She just saw this man coming up and wearing this mantle. And because it says this, there are some that believe this really was Samuel. Now, again, there are those who stand on both sides of the issue. Some say that this was an event where God really allowed Samuel to be brought up. Some say that it wasn't really Samuel, it was a demonic deception. I tend to lean toward this being a demonic deception. And there's several reasons why. First of all, we can't deny that something supernatural happened here. Again, without the supernatural, she could not have seen anything or anyone in the spirit. And nor could she have suddenly known that she was dealing with Saul. So this is a real supernatural thing. And I think one of the things we need to grasp is, guys, the demonic realm is real and the power there is real. You know, growing up and not believing in the demonic realm really being real, I was a sitting duck. If we understand that it's real, then we understand the battle. And so this is a very real supernatural event, undeniable that it was a legitimate supernatural event. The question is, was it really Samuel or was it God or of the demonic realm? And so, again, it brings up some doctrinal issues. First of all, as we just read in Deuteronomy, this type of activity is an abomination to God. So it doesn't seem logical that God would be involved in this. Secondly, Luke 16 declares that it's impossible for those who have already died to go back to the earth. Remember the whole scene there with Abraham and the rich man and Lazarus died. And the rich man went to Hades and Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. And it's amazing, this rich man, when he was alive, he had nothing to do with God. And now suddenly that he dies, he's a great evangelist. You know, he wants to reach out to the Lord. As a matter of fact, why don't we turn there? Turn to Luke chapter 16. Let's look at that. Luke chapter 16, because I think this is important in light of this. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Notice what it says. It says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid up at the gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angel to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. So we see the place that the righteous went, and we see the place that the rich man went, who didn't know God, two very separate places. Now notice this back and forth that goes in between these two here. Verse 23, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, this is interesting to me because although he has now died and been eternally separated, put down into Hades, he sees them over in Abraham's bosom. And again, that being able to see back and forth in these temporary holding tanks before heaven had been opened up by Christ. And yet he still sees himself as the one in charge. He says, hey, send Lazarus, that beggar over here, to bring me some water for my tongue. And so you see the heart change is not even there. He doesn't change any. And he's still the same type person, still looking to Lazarus, thinking Lazarus is somehow lesser than he is. But again, what did Dennis say earlier when he was talking about the song he wrote about John? The Bible says the least in heaven is greater than the greatest on earth. And so now Lazarus is great, and this man has been demoted, if you will. But notice verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. Guys, notice he says, remember. I think one of the most daunting things about this passage to me is that after we die, we remember. And I think about those who have an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. Maybe there's some of you here tonight that don't know the Lord yet. You've not given your life to the Lord. You've heard about him. Maybe you grew up in church and just like I did, you knew about him, you were involved in all that, but you never gave your life. Listen, what is scary about this, not to use fear in the sense to bring in the gospel, but to bring reality into it. And that is this, the Bible says after we die, we remember. I love what Charles Spurgeon said, the believers ask, hey, when we get to heaven, are we going to know each other in heaven the same way we do down here? Are we going to remember things? He said, well, you think you're going to be any dumber in heaven than you are now? No, you're going to know everyone. You'll know as you're known, the Bible says. The same thing is true in the demonic realm as well. Guys, for those who don't get into heaven and are separated eternally from God, the Bible says that hell is real. And the bottom line is you remember. Now, here's the nightmare. What if you're here tonight and you're hearing the gospel and you know that you don't know Jesus Christ, but you say, you know what? I'm not going to worry about that. I'm fine. No problem. I can deal with that. I'll deal with it later. I've got a lot of life ahead of me. Well, if you're pulling out of this parking lot, you may not. Because to pull up on this highway, it could be our final night. Now, I don't know that. Only God knows that. But the bottom line is, can you imagine if you pulled out here and it was all over tonight and suddenly you found yourself there in Hades and you remembered that was Dennis and he was sharing and he was singing and talking about the Lord. And then Mark got up and he started sharing about knowing Jesus Christ and getting to know the Lord. And I decided I wasn't going to make a decision because you know what? I've got more time. And now I find that I don't have time. The problem that this man found and that we need to understand tonight is this. And that is once we are done with this life and we leave these bodies, there's no second chances. This is it. This is our opportunity. We either take it now or we don't get another one. And as you know, there's no time clock on life and death. We don't know when that's going to be. And now he finds himself remembering that in his lifetime, there, verse 25, he says, you receive good things, but likewise Lazarus evil. But now he's comforted and you're tormented. It's reversed. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a gulf fixed so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. You see, once you're there, you're there. There's no passing back and forth. It's done. Now watch this, verse 27. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Isn't it interesting? While he was in this life, on this planet, living for himself and not caring about the things of God, he had nothing to do with God. Now once he's died and gone to Hades, suddenly he becomes an evangelist. A little bit late at that point, don't you think? And yet, what does he say? Go back and tell my family. My family needs to know about this. They need to understand this. And again, I understand his heart, but it's too late. Notice it is a place of torment, not only a place of memory, but it's a place of torment. We know that it's a place of heat. Again, this not the eternal hell yet, but that temporary holding tank until the eternal hell comes to be later on when the judgment day comes. But the bottom line is, this is not a pleasant place to be. And he realizes there's no escape. But notice what Abraham says to him. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Now, this is interesting because what he's saying is the way they spoke of the Bible back then was they would call it Moses and the prophets. Moses representing a portion of the Old Testament, of course, the Pentateuch, as well as the historical books, and the prophets, the rest of it. Here's what he was saying, guys. Abraham was saying, hey, look, they've got the Bible. Let them believe the Bible. If they don't believe the Bible, it's not going to do any good. Let them listen to the Bible. Notice he says, let them hear that, verse 30. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. It's interesting. One has gone to them from the dead. His name is Jesus Christ. But the problem is, even one rising from the dead, if someone's heart is hardened, they're not going to hear it. And notice the answer that Abraham gives. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, that is, if they don't listen to the word of God in the Bible, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. And guys, that's what we see today. One has risen from the dead. And his name is Jesus Christ. He has risen from the dead and he is alive. I hadn't even planned on going to this particular passage of Scripture tonight, just using it in reference to this whole episode between Saul and trying to call Samuel up and getting involved in all this type of stuff. And next week, we're going to look more in detail about this whole situation with Saul and Samuel and whether or not this was really something demonic or whether or not it was really something of the Lord. But guys, tonight, what's in my heart is simply this. Listen, there may be someone here tonight who doesn't know the Lord. And I want to give you an opportunity to come to the Lord before that happens. Again, remember, once that time passes and we leave these bodies, there's no further opportunity to come to the Lord. It's done. This is our only moment to do it. And whether it's by someone sitting in here right now or whether it's someone listening by radio right now, the only hope that we have is in Jesus Christ. And especially as we, again, look at this particular subject where right now there's a lot of demonic activity as we head toward Halloween. Again, a lot of innocent fun, but also a lot of demonic activity. It's a time where the enemy's working overtime to pull people his direction and to sway them that way. But guys, my appeal to you tonight is simply this. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? And if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Because again, this may be the final opportunity that you have. And we're going to trust in the Lord to move in your heart and again, to draw you into himself. As, again, you know that you've not made that commitment. Now, I also want to make a challenge. Some of you have grown up in religion. And maybe you've even said a prayer when you were younger. I did that. You know my testimony. If you've been coming to Calvary Chapel any length of time, I grew up as a preacher's kid. I went to church all the time as a regular basis. I was always in services, but I didn't know the Lord. I had never made a personal commitment to the Lord. It was all just religion. And so there might be some of you here that flat out say, look, I know I don't know the Lord. And there may be some of you here tonight that say, look, I think I know the Lord, but I'm not sure. You know, the Bible says that if we are in Jesus Christ, God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And there's no doubt. We know that we're saved. We know that we know that we know. The question I have for you tonight is, do you know that you know that you know? And if you don't know, you have the opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ tonight. And I think we're just going to do that right now, is give you an opportunity to do that. Because I don't think we really have the time to go much farther in the passage and really develop the passage. And I think the way that the Holy Spirit is leading this tonight is to give you that opportunity to do that. And so I want to just, again, right now, I want us just to pray. And let's, for those of you who say, you know what, I want to make that commitment to Christ, I want you to do that, even now as we pray. Why don't we bow together and let's just pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And Lord, even tonight, the way this has gone, it's certainly not even gone in the direction that I suspected that it would go. But Lord, you're the one that's in control. And I know that your Spirit is working. And Father, whether it's some in this room or whether it's some by radio, I know, Lord, that you desire to bring more into the kingdom tonight. And there's some, Lord, even as we have read this passage right here about Lazarus and the rich man and Abraham, Lord, they realize that one day they're going to stand before you and one day they're going to be judged before you. And yet the good news is that because of what you have done on the cross, Lord, they don't have to face that judgment. Your word tells us that you gave your life on the cross and you spilled your blood for our sins. And Lord, you rose again the third day. And because of that, if we put our faith in you and we believe in you, Lord, and we repent of our sins, then you will save us from our sins. And Lord, we never have to face the thing that this rich man faced here. But we have only the certain hope of eternity in heaven. And Father, I just pray tonight you begin to move in the hearts of any here tonight that maybe haven't made that commitment. And I want to give you that opportunity right now. For anyone in here tonight, you say, you know what, I've never really given my life to the Lord. Or maybe you're even wondering, maybe I'm not sure that I've done that because God's Spirit is not bearing witness with my spirit that I've done that. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to raise your hand and lift it up high. I want you to acknowledge that publicly right now before the Lord. Lift up your hand right now. If you say, you know what, I've never done that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you guys. Awesome. Anyone else right now, just raise your hand up. You say, you know what, I haven't ever really done that. I'm not sure that I've done it. Let's just see God bring more into the kingdom. God bless you guys. It's awesome. Anybody else? Before we pray together, just raise your hand up if you want to be involved in this as well. Raise your hand up. We want to see. Let the Lord see it. There's a release of faith and there's that public proclamation. Let's just take it to the Lord. Let's pray. I want you, if you raise your hand, to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And I ask now, Lord, that you would come into my life and that you would be my Lord and that you would be my Savior. And I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Now, let's continue to pray because I want to give an opportunity again for those of you right now who just want to, again, refocus and rededicate on the Lord tonight. I think that God wants to, again, not only bring some new people into the kingdom, which he's done, but also at the same time have some of us that maybe have veered off. You know, we look at the warning tonight of Saul and a man who was walking with the Lord, but as time went by, he began to veer away from the Lord. And he found himself, you know, instead of kicking the spiritists and the mediums out of the land, actually going to them. The very thing that he thought he would never do, he's involved in. And maybe some of you tonight say, hey, I'm involved in things tonight that I never dreamed I'd be involved in. Now, if you just want to get right with the Lord, wherever you are, whatever your situation is, and you know you need to rededicate and ask God to forgive you, I want you to raise your hand as well right now. Lift it up because we're going to pray with you. God bless you guys. And the Lord sees that. And the reason I'm having you raise your hand again is because I want you to release that faith and make that movement, that public proclamation there, that you're doing that with the Lord. Is there anybody else that says, you know what, I need to get my heart right? God bless you. You too as well. God bless you guys. Praise the Lord. This is awesome. Anybody else, before I pray, you just want to put your hand up right now. Say, this is it. This is the moment to do it. God bless you guys. This is great. Awesome. Let's pray. Let me pray for you guys right now. Father, I thank you for those that are here tonight that have said, you know what, I've already given my life to the Lord, but I want to rededicate. I know that I'm not where I need to be. And I see a man like Saul that has been called of you, anointed of you, and walking with you. And Lord, he veered away and got off course. And now, Lord, you have pierced their hearts and you're drawing them back to yourself as well. And Father, I pray not only for those who raise their hand to receive you for the first time tonight, but also for those who raise their hand to rededicate. I ask that right now you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. God, that you would come upon them. Lord, giving the life to you is one thing, and we thank you for the salvation that comes with that. But we need the power to walk with you after that. And that power comes with the Holy Spirit coming upon us and baptizing us in your Spirit. And so I pray you would just come upon those right now tonight, Lord, among both those groups that have raised their hand, and you would just baptize them in your Holy Spirit, that they would have the power to walk with you, Lord. And I just thank you for what you've done tonight, Lord. I thank you that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Certainly it's not by powerful or great teaching, but Lord, it's simply by the power of your Spirit moving in hearts. And I give you glory for what you've done. We thank you, Lord, and we ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.